Across the rugged Indian territory rides a tall young man on a mission of mercy, his medical bag strapped on one hip, his six-shooter on the other. This is Dr. Six Gun. The National Broadcasting Company brings you another transcribed episode in the exciting adventure series, Dr. Six Gun. Ray Matson, M.D., was the gun-toting frontier doctor who roamed the length and breadth of the old Indian territory. Friend and physician to white man and Indian alike, the symbol of justice and mercy in the lawless West of the 1870s, this legendary figure was known to all of us as Dr. Six Gun.
For many years in the empty stretches of the territory, the law was something that was 100 miles to the east. Justice was a matter of who shot first. And the man with the pistol was obviously in the wrong when he faced the man with the rifle. Of course, life went on in the territory. Farms were caught out of the wilderness. Wagon trains rolled westward. And I brought culture, civilization, and dim pots to the countryside. Me? I am Pablo, the gypsy peddler. This is my friend Midnight.
Midnight. I know my rights.
He is a bird, but he's also a student of the law. Unfortunately, Blackstone is not as important in the territory as Colt or Winchester. It was in the early times that I rode the trail just west of the territorial line with my friend, Doc Sixgun.
Hey, pull up, Pablo.
Yeah?
What's your rush? Got a lot of ground to cover.
Well, if you'll pardon me, Doc, I am in a slight hurry.
Any particular reason?
Well, Doc, when I travel out to the country with a full pack and no money, I don't care who overtakes me. But when I'm headed the other way with an empty pack and a full wallet, then I'm a little bit more particular.
Afraid of outlaws, huh?
Outlaws, in-laws, I'm afraid of any man who I meet on the trail.
Well, there's nobody around.
On the contrary, Doc. There is a horse behind us.
What?
Yes, see? See the dust rising?
I didn't notice that.
Well, let us hope that we have also escaped his view.
I don't know why you have to be so nervous. Let's pull up, see who it is. Oh, come on.
Well, Doc, my uncle, who was a wise man, used to say that heaven looks after saints and fools. Well, let us hope that you are a saint, for I'm certainly a fool to stay with you.
Hold it.
The rider came up from behind us at the gallop and pulled up when Doc hailed him.
Hello there. Which way is Fort Dale?
You headed that way?
Would I be asking you that question if I wasn't?
Well, might just be asking for general information.
I haven't got time to waste on conversation. Is this the Fort Dale Road?
As good as any. You take the left fork, the river.
I'm much obliged.
Wait up there. We'll ride with you.
I'm in a hurry.
Rough country from here to the river, so you won't go faster than a walk if you want to keep your horse alive. We'll ride along with you. I'm Dr. Matson. This is my friend Pablo.
How do you do?
Are you a licensed physician or a self-appointed quack?
I have my credentials. Why?
I will not allow a violation of the law to be countenanced in my district.
Your district?
I'm Judge Jacob Parsons, United States District Judge.
Oh, you must be the new judge for Fort Dale.
I am.
Well, you're not like Judge Corey. He wouldn't be riding alone across the Badlands. And Judge Corey liked a little more comfort.
Corey was an incompetent, corrupt, weak-livered fool. Up there.
I wouldn't say that, Judge Parsons. Sam Corey was a compassionate man who knew the value of mercy.
Mercy? Where did you get him? Shot down by an 18-year-old ruffian who should have been dropped through the gallows trap the year before. But did Corey do his duty? No. He gave him 6 months. because of his extreme youth. Extreme enough for him to shoot Corey in the back. There'll be none such before my court, I can promise you.
You come from back east, don't you, Judge?
Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you'll find jurisprudence a little different out here.
I expect to. The law in the territory has been a byword and a joke. It will be so no longer. Can't we go faster on this trail?
Not unless you want to take a chance of crippling your horse. You're in a hurry to get to Fort Dale?
Doctor, I bear a commission from President Grant in Washington to bring law and justice to this territory. I'm in a hurry to perform that duty.
Well, now, I'm glad to hear that, Judge.
Are you?
Yes.
Doctor, are you a law-abiding citizen?
Yes, I am. Why?
Then you have nothing to fear. But mark me, this territory will learn my name, and it will curse it before it is done.
But why should it do that?
Because the rod that chastises is feared. The bolt that strikes down the evildoer is a thing of terror. Doctor, I am prepared to be hated and reviled, but I will bring the law to the territory. Up there, up!
He was not an old man, and his beard was combed carefully, but his eyes burned, and the veins in the back of his hands stood out as he clenched his fist around the reins. We lost track of George Jacob Parsons when we got to Fort Dale. I didn't hear about him for 2 days. And Doc and I were in the cafe when an old friend of ours sat down beside us.
Hey, Dirk. Mind if I join you?
Oh, hello, Harry.
Oh, hello, Harry.
Sit down. How are things at the prison?
That whiskey you got there, Blow?
You take mine, I'll order another.
Thanks. I need it.
What's on your mind, Harry?
Doc, you've been good to me. You saved me from the jail fever the time them 12 prisoners got took and died out of the jail.
Oh, I didn't save you, Harry. I don't know what causes jail fever.
Anyways, you took care of me and I come through it. So, well, I got a lot of respect for you, Doc. I just want to know if I'd done right.
What's the trouble?
I'm as tough a fella as the next man. I fit through the whole war, Doc. I fit the rebel raiders in Missouri and Kansas, and I fit with the regulars under Sherman. I've killed men with bullets, and I've killed them with knives.
Harry, what's the matter?
I just don't want you to misunderstand nothing. Now, I've been turnkey over the federal jail for 2 years. Now, they ain't no good, them prisoners. Most of them, they steal each other's shoes if you give them a chance, but I draw the line.
At what?
Doc, I'm going to tell you something I ain't never told nobody. And Pablo, You promise you won't say nothing?
About what?
Never mind. Promise.
Very well. I promise.
You, Doc?
Sure.
Well, back in my regiment, I was with the provost marshal's office. And you know what I'd done?
What?
I was a hangman, that's what. 5 times I had to set the jerk knot and whip the horses out from under some fellow who'd been court-martialed for maybe murder or desertion.
Well, it was your duty, Harry. You were a soldier.
Yeah, I know, I suppose, but... Well, he knows about it.
Who?
The new judge, Parsons. He come around to the federal jail, he took me aside, and he told me he wanted me to be his hangman.
But why?
He says old man Somerville is too old. Doc, I swear my flesh like to creep away. You know what he wants to build? A gallows with a trap big enough for 12 men.
12?
Pablo, get me a bottle from the bar.
With pleasure.
Doc, he ain't even set a case yet, and he tells me, Harry Moore, there's going to be a change in the law in this part of the country.
12 men?
Yeah, that ain't all. You know, up to now, we've got a hanging case. We put up a temporary scaffold up in the courtyard. But that ain't where he's going to put us.
What do you mean?
Doc, he's aiming to build his gallows outside the front gate of the prison.
Why, that's right opposite the town square.
Sure. Harry Moore, he says to me, I aim to let people see justice done. Doc, I told him I was a turnkey and not a hangman. Not 12 at a time like it was a show for people to watch. But he said it was my duty. He quoted scripture at me or something. Doc, did I do wrong?
I don't know, Harry. Man has to do what his conscience tells him.
Yeah. That's what I fixed.
All right.
And my conscience tells me I don't want no part of a gallows big enough to hang 12 men at one crack. Pablo, where's that bottle?
Found himself a hangman who was not so squeamish. An ex-army man named George Merwin, who took a great pride in his work, who built the gallows with his own hands and looked forward to a prosperous year at $100 a hang. United States Marshals went out into the territory from Fort Dale armed with a saddlebag full of warrants. And after a few months, they would come back with a wagon load of men in irons who disappeared into the federal prison until the time came that they appeared before George Parsons.
It is a sentence of this court that you be taken from hence to the place from which you came, and from there to a place of execution where you shall be hanged by the neck until you are dead. May heaven have mercy on your soul.
No! No, I didn't mean to kill him. It was a fair fight. He drew first.
You've had your trial.
Trial? I ain't been out of that lousy, stinking cell for more than 15 minutes. But what kind of a trial is that? I tell you, we had a fair fight.
Silence! Prisoner, my purpose to bring law and order and civil regulation to the territory. I will not stand for breaches of the peace or murder and criminals of your type.
It was a fair fight. You
can't
do this to me.
Take him out. Bring in the next.
The gallows held 12 men, although George Parsons was never able to collect more than 6 at one time for his public demonstrations of law and order. His court had been sitting for 5 months when Doc and I came back to Fort Dale. We went into the cafe and found it empty.
Hey, where is everybody?
Oh.
Shorty!
Morning, Doc.
Oh.
Peddler. I can't give you breakfast. Cook's not here.
Where is everybody?
Oh, it's hanging day.
Huh?
Most everybody goes over on hanging day. It's real interesting. Young Sandy Turpin goes today. He's that kid shot up the sheriff out by the Three Forks country. The rest of the lot ain't much to speak of. Couple of Indians and a soldier from the fort. Sandy's the main attraction.
Well, how come you're missing their fun?
Well, it ain't fair, and that's a fact. Boss said somebody had to stay with the till. I told him I missed the last hanging day a couple of weeks ago because I had a bad cold in my head.
How many people go to these hangings?
Well, the whole town. Ain't you going, Doc?
No, thanks. The man's unfortunate enough to be condemned to death. I'm not interested in watching him die.
Well, now, it's really a question of establishing law and order. That's what it is. Judge Parsons says it acts as a deterrent. You going, Peddler?
My friend, I have seen too many of my kinsmen hang from trees in the old country to enjoy such a spectacle.
Yeah, well, I can understand that if somebody in the family got hung. Say, listen, would you two fellas mind looking after the cafe if I run out and take a look? I'll only be a couple of minutes. Old George drops them neat as a pin. Only takes a couple of minutes. You don't have to worry. There won't be nobody in till afterwards anyway. Thanks a lot.
Law and order,
huh? And I thought this was a civilized country.
Oh, it is, Doc, it is. Well, there's an old story among the gypsies of a man who was lost in the woods. He wandered for days, not finding a house or a barn or a human soul, until one day he came out of the woods, and there, at the fork in the road, stood a high gallows with a man hanging from it. Ah, he said, civilization at last.
Still, it is the law.
Yes, Doc. It is the law. He was known now throughout the territory as the Hanging Judge. He bullied the jury.
coercion of convictions and invariably meted out the severest penalty allowed under the law. George Merlin, the hangman, bought an interest in the livery stable in the Fort Dale Saloon out of his earnings. It was a year after that Doc, riding through Fort Dale, was called on to visit the federal jail.
Doc, I reckon they called you in because the regular prison doctor went east to St. Louis on account of his mother dying.
I suppose so. Smells in here.
You get used to it, Doc. Them cells ain't too fancy in their equipment.
Just what is it, Harry? Jail fever?
No, Doc. There's a fella named Baxter.
What's the matter with him?
Tried to escape. One of the boys shot him through the leg. I guess it developed a slight touch of gangrene, you might say. Still here. Open up, Charlie.
I can't see.
Just close your eyes for a spell. You'll get used to it. Step clear of the door.
How many men are there down here?
About 15 head.
All right, I can see now.
Six of them have already been sentenced to hang. The rest won't get theirs till next week when court's in session. That's where they call you, I reckon.
What do you mean?
Well, this Baxter kid's set to hang with the next bunch. And if he dies, Judge Parsons might be real upset. He don't like nobody he sentences to hang to die no other way. Right in here.
All right, Doctor.
I brought the doctor.
What for?
Want to help you.
Why? Because I can stand up straight in the gallows?
I don't know anything about that. Here, let me see your leg.
What's the use?
Well, it must be paining you. Maybe I can do something about that.
Why didn't they shoot higher? I wanted them to.
Harry, is there any water?
You got any water left, Doctor?
Yeah. Any jug?
It's going to hurt.
I can't feel nothing anyway.
You should be cauterized. You're likely to lose that leg.
My leg? Ain't you forgetting something, Doc?
Maybe.
Baxter here claims he's innocent.
Did you have a trial?
Trial? I come up before that old devil. Took him 20 minutes to finish up. You all but told that jury if they didn't call me guilty, you'd have them on the gallows themselves. Maybe that's why they built it for 12 men, huh?
Baxter, are you innocent?
You really care?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Doc, I told him I wasn't anywhere near where that holdup was just because I looked something like Billy Whitcomb. I told him if he'd let me get my witnesses, I could prove it was Billy Whitcomb killed that man. He says Billy Whitcomb's been dead for 6 months and I was guilty. I didn't get no more chance than a rabbit.
Whitcomb, huh? He's a short man with a black mustache.
Yeah, he's just like me.
What, he isn't dead? I heard he was out west of Frenchman's Ford about a month ago.
I told him that. That old devil just sat there up on a bench banging on his gavel. Ain't no use. President Grant himself could come into that court and Parsons would have a noose around his neck fast as you could spit.
Maybe if I went and talked to Parsons, we could get a delay. I recall it. Whitcomb was seen in Frenchman's Ford just recently.
Ain't no good talking to him. You know why? Because he's got an empty noose hanging off that gallows and he needs a neck to fill it. And mine's as good as anyone else's. Just ain't no use.
Well, we'll see, Baxter. He can't hang an innocent man.
He'd hang his own mother if she showed up in front of his bench. I tell you, Doc, it ain't no use.
I will not tolerate interference with this court.
Judge Parsons.
I will not allow lawlessness and chaos in my jurisdiction.
But the man claims he's innocent.
So say they all. You think I'm to be fooled by any murdering scoundrel who stands before me and pleads that he's as pure as a newborn babe? You take me for a fool? What man threatened with the gallows would not swear his innocence?
But he says he can prove. Judge, look. If Billy Whitcomb is alive, it's possible that Baxter is innocent.
He was found guilty.
It won't hurt to delay the hanging till you can find out whether...
I do not have to find out. I know... Doctor, I can tell the guilt or innocence of a man brought before me before a word of the charge is read.
That's crazy.
The man must hang. They'll all hang. The criminals, the outlaws, the cutthroats, the scoundrels. Doctor, I will have this territory clean and in order.
He may be innocent.
I suppose he may.
Well, then you can't hang him.
I will have the verdict of this court respected. Doctor, do you realize that all that stands between this community and the pack of human wolves that skulk through the territory is the majesty of this court? Its verdicts are inflexible. Better by far that one worthless man should hang than that a mob of drunken, unlawful scoundrels should think that this court is weak.
But you can't mean that you'd hang an innocent man.
They're none of them innocent.
But unless it's proved, the law can't... You can't do that. What right have you got...
I am their judge.
But only according to the law. If he's innocent, you have
to... I am their judge. Now, doctor, leave my chambers, or I shall issue an order holding you in contempt of this court.
Judge Parsons, don't you realize this is a human life?
When you have been on the bench as long as I have, you realize that human life is a petty and unimportant thing. Doctor, I would hang them all to preserve the majesty of this court. Good morning.
Pablo, he's mad. He's crazy.
Are you sure?
You should have heard him. He'll hang that Baxter boy whether he's innocent or guilty. He doesn't even care.
Civilization.
God only knows how many others have been innocent. He's hanged 53 men in 1 year. And there's no appeal from his court in the special district.
But what can you do, Doc?
We've got to have him removed. He'll go on and on. I can't understand it. I just can't grasp it. He doesn't even care whether they're innocent or not. Pablo, that gallows out there has become an altar. He's conducting human sacrifice.
That leg of his must be better, Doc. Don't smell so bad today.
Don't hurt so much neither, Doc. Thanks. Now I can keep my mind on my hanging.
I talked to Judge Parsons today, Baxter. He doesn't care whether you're innocent or not.
I told you, Doc.
But you don't understand. He's mad, out of his mind.
Now that's a great comfort to me, Doc. At least when old George springs that trap of his, I'll know that Judge Parsons is crazy. Yeah, I'll think about it while I'm dropping.
There's got to be some way to stop him. He derives his authority directly from Washington. It'd take a week to get any action from there.
That's nice. One of my hangings on Tuesday.
There's only some way of stopping him in the meantime. But he doesn't show any signs of his madness.
Doc, he don't show no signs of nothing.
He did. He was obviously insane. I could certify him. But it'd have to be plain for everybody to see.
You wouldn't get anybody to go along with you now.
Oh, but there must be some way, some weakness.
Weakness in him? Back home, I remember folks saying that Jacob Parsons was about the strongest...
Back home? I thought you said you knew him in the Army.
Well, I did, but we come from the same town back in Ohio.
Same town, huh? Tell me about him, Harry. Tell me everything you can remember about him.
All right. I don't see how that's going to help, but... All right.
Idea of busting in here. What do you want, Doctor?
Judge Parsons.
You're about to deliver some well-meaning maudlin plea for a stay of execution. You're wasting your time. I will not stay the hanging.
No. No, I didn't think you would. You don't care if Baxter's innocent, do you?
The verdict has been rendered.
Tell me, Judge, do you go to watch the hangings yourself?
No. Not required of me.
Well, you should sometime, Judge. Have you ever seen a man hang? Ever heard his steps up the gallows? 13 steps? It's traditional, you know. They always build them with 13 steps. Why don't you go out and watch it sometime?
I would ask you to leave now.
You say your public hangings are important for law and order. Well, why don't you go watch one yourself?
What are you getting at?
I don't think you're telling the truth, Judge. I think you have seen a hanging... I think you know what it's like.
I think you remember it very well.
No, I don't.
They tell me you've never hanged a woman, Judge. Is that right?
Get out of here.
There was a woman before your bench 3 months ago, a murderess. You didn't hang her. Why not? Couldn't you stand the thought of it, Judge, hanging a woman? Did you remember something? What was it? Something about a woman in the gallows, the 13 steps and the noose? Was that it?
What do you want from me? Get away, I'll have you charged with contempt.
Is that what you remember, Parsons? A woman? A hanging woman? Where are you going?
Get out of my way! Get out of my way!
You see it sometimes. You see it at night when you're asleep. Do you see your face before you when you bang that gavel? When you pronounce sentence? Is that it, Judge?
Get out of my way! Let me alone!
Wait, Judge, I'm not through with you.
I can't stand it! I can't stand it!
Comfortable now, Baxter?
Yeah, Doc. As much as I can be in a jail cell.
Well, you'll be in it at least another month, but I've sent for witnesses in your case.
Doc, I just don't understand it. What happened?
Well, you heard what Harry told us. Judge Parsons' mother was hanged as a murderess in Ohio when he was a little boy. He had an uncle who made him go to the hanging. He wanted to shock the criminal tendency out of the boy's blood.
Well, you can't do that. Can you, Doc?
No. No, he can't. The boy was shocked, all right. And he's been getting back ever since. Baxter, if he'd had his way, he'd have hung the whole world to pay him back.
Well, Doc, what happened?
He ran out of the courthouse across the square of the gallows. He just stood up there on the top, screaming and crying for his mother. Well, old George was down below working on the lever. George is stone deaf, you know. He didn't hear anybody on top, and he sprung the trap to test it.
But there wasn't any noose.
No. No, but you can break your neck from a 12-foot fall. Don't need a rope.
He's dead?
Hmm. There's an interim appointment for Judge Lowry over at Frenchman's Ford to take over.
I suppose that won't help me none.
I think it will. If you're innocent, you'll be clear. And this time, you won't be tried before a hanging judge.
Tonight on FPN Presents, you've been listening to 55 Minutes, The Old West, seen through the eyes of Paladin and Dr. Sixgun. Join us again tomorrow night for our end-of-the-week special with Fibber McGee and Molly and Broadway's My Beat. This is Navy journalist Dan Jurgensen speaking.